Grant us, O Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So when my family and I go to visit Becky's parents in Texas, that means living on the ranch for a few days, surrounded by cows and goats and the dogs that watch over them. Now, goats are funny creatures. Sometimes we'll be there shortly after a big rain or maybe a cold spell, and then a lot of the baby goats will have just been born. Mm-hmm. These little kids stay together near the barn where it's warm. Mm. Becky's dad will often pile up lumber or other debris for them to climb on. Those goats love to climb, and they compete to hold the highest point on the structure, butting each other off as often as they can. You may remember as a child playing King of the Hill or King of the Mountain on a playground slide or other structure. The baby goats do the same thing, and it is very cute. Now, the same thing is happening in our gospel reading today, only when it's grown men doing it, it's not so cute. The disciples are jostling for position, for status, for power. And so it's kind of funny and kind of not when Jesus asked them what they were talking about, and no one will answer. Jesus knows what they were talking about. They know that Jesus knows what they were talking about. And yet they know somehow, right, on some subconscious level, that Jesus doesn't approve. That's why they don't want to tell him. This jostling for discipleship, this playing King of the Mountain and status, that's not discipleship. It's more like middle school. But following Jesus calls for something different. Now, if today's gospel story sounds familiar to you, there's a reason for that. Last week's gospel was almost exactly the same. Mm. Jesus is telling the disciples the same things over and over. He's using a classic pedagogical technique called spaced repetition. Mm. Jesus is just drilling this idea into the disciples' hard heads so that after he has been crucified, maybe they'll remember. Yeah. Being the Messiah, being the Christ, it means betrayal and crucifixion and death. Being the Messiah means the ultimate loss of status from God incarnate to an executed criminal. And so for us, for any would-be disciple, following where the Messiah goes is not going to be all sunshine and rainbows. Mm-mm. Now, our epistle reading today is from James. James, who is widely held to have been the brother of our Lord, one of Joseph's sons. Talk about a challenging status. Mm-hmm. Last week's reading from James warned against discriminating between people according to their wealth or their social standing. That's just one more way to play King of the Hill, one more way to reject Christ. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of wisdom that James describes this week as earthly, unspiritual, or devilish. And so James urges those who would follow Christ to act instead with a gentleness that is born of wisdom. He says the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Now, I'm especially caught by that phrase in the middle, willing to yield. When is the last time that you saw someone who was willing to yield? I feel like the current political fashion is to never yield, never admit error, no matter what. Even when people know they're wrong. As if the capacity to absorb new information, to draw fresh conclusions, and maybe even to change one's mind, as if that was somehow a sign of weakness rather than strength. What would it mean for our relationships, for our families, for our homes, our schools, our places of work, our vestries, our committees, not to mention our politics, if just occasionally we were willing to yield? How much space for conversation would be created? How much room for grace to move? Opportunity for everyone to feel heard and respected? How much hatred and warfare, lawsuits and conflicts are created in a world by just a doctrinaire refusal to yield? Willingness to yield, says James, is characteristic of the wisdom that is from above, from God. In fact, if I had to summarize Jesus' action on the cross in just three words, willingness to yield wouldn't be a bad way to go, would it? Because that's just what Jesus modeled. He had every opportunity, every power, every capacity to avoid pain and abandonment. But for your sake and for mine, Jesus was willing to yield even to the cross. Now, there's a question that floats around the Protestant evangelical world where people like to ask, are you saved? They want to know, when you die and you find out what's next, is that going to be a good thing for you? There's a certain terror that shows up when you ask many earnest Christians that question. Just like the apostles, this is a question of status. Are you saved? Now, if the question of salvation was just one more game of King of the Mountain, one more test or competition or opportunity to measure up or to fail, and if that was true, then the question of our salvation, if that was up to us, then a matter of our own strength or our own determination, our own ability, our own wisdom, then yeah, that would be something to worry about. But salvation, life in God's kingdom, is different from that. It's not like a pension where you can only depend on it if you invest enough on the front end. It's more like a defined benefit plan that has been provided to you already, if only you will endorse the checks. There's already a king of the mountain, and that king has come down to the very bottom to make sure not to miss a single one of us with which to share the king's reward. But here's the tricky part, the part that Jesus kept trying to teach his disciples. That reward, it's not going to look the way you think it's going to look. Heaven is not going to be limited by the reaches of your limited imagination. When God is the king of the mountain, the whole game gets played in a different way. And so the question I would suggest is not, are you saved, but are you willing to yield? Are your heart, your will, your habits of speech and action, are they ready for the challenge of yielding to the unexpected and shockingly good news of what it means for Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the King of the mountain? Now is the time, right now is the time for us to be practicing, preparing to endorse that check and say yes to God's good gift. And when we, the church, if we begin to look a little odd and different to the world around us, because we are so full of grace and respect for the dignity of every human being, that will be a sign that we too are learning to play a different game with different rules. under a different king. And until we reach that point, church is for us a school. It's a place for us to learn and to practice, sometimes to trip over our own egos, and then to get up again and try again. Because where God is the king of the mountain, even the smallest child can win. Amen.
Amen.